Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for everything that you have given us this day in Jesus. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who will illuminate our hearts and minds the truth of the gospel. We pray you would do that now for your glory's sake and our good, that even as we hear words that we've never heard before, or words that we have read and heard many times, that we would never forget that these are living words, your word. Do that work and transform us this day, making us more and more like our Savior Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. We'll remain standing for the reading of God's word. We're going to begin this morning in the Gospel of John, this new sermon series, which we'll be in for at least a year, going slow. I think it's going to be very encouraging. The prologue is where John begins, and I'm going to read the first five verses, preaching as far as I can today in these verses, and then picking it up again next week. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It's a great privilege to come back from a bit of time off in the summer, going to Colorado for family camp and then a little vacation with family, to be with you again. I can't tell you how much it means to be with you as we, as the body of Christ, seek to make much of Jesus. I'm also reminded almost every week from someone around the world that they are worshiping with us online. They tune in or they watch the service that's recorded later. I think of friends up in Detroit Lakes right now, Mimi and Papa and their family, as they gather to worship around a screen to praise God with us right now. I think of friends that have befriended me over the years from the Pacific Northwest, from parts of Asia, parts of Europe, South America, Houston. I don't know why you laugh. All parts of our country. Many are into other churches, but they delight in being a part of our worship together. And often they say it in one way or another, they sense that we, by the grace of God, seek to make much of Jesus. What are you making much of right now? It's something. Is it Christ? The little ones that were baptized today, we have the privilege, by God's grace, of pointing Jesus out to them, pointing them to Jesus as someone to know. In his book, Knowing God, J.I. Packer says, faith in Jesus introduces us into a relation big with incalculable blessings. I want you to hear that again. Faith in Jesus introduces us into a relation big with incalculable blessings, both now and for eternity. Do you remember when you first read the first five verses of John? I remember. I had just become a believer. And for many of you and for many people, John's the first book of the Bible you read as a Christian. Or it might be the book that you were reading when you became a Christian. Because someone said, if you really want to understand who Jesus is, the way of salvation, read John. And I remember reading these words with eyes that had been opened by God's grace to receive Christ Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I read, in the beginning was the Word. And the first thing I noticed is that letter W is capitalized. What does that mean? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. One verse in, I have no idea what I'm reading. John tells us very clearly why he was carried along by the Holy Spirit to write this book.
It comes later in his gospel near the end. Just listen to this. John 20, verse 31. But these are written, and John's the one writing them as the Holy Spirit carries him. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Do you know that's the purpose for every sermon too? Every sermon should be so that you, if you don't know Christ, would come to know Christ, that you would believe in him. But it's also for those who already believe in him, that by believing you may have life in his name. We're going to talk about that word life in a moment. So in order to accomplish this purpose, John makes it clear that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Where does he start? Where he starts is amazing. And I'm concerned that it's not amazing to us anymore. I'm concerned that we're not really making much of Jesus. We're making much of ministry. We're making much of things about Jesus, maybe. We're making much of a lot of things that we think might give us life, but are we really making much of Jesus? Audit your conversations. Audit the conversation you had on the way to church with another person or with the Lord. Did you come today saying, I cannot wait to be with the people of God to make much of the Lord and Savior? We are made to make much of Christ. He's given us everything we need to make much of him. And John begins in the most amazing way with words, these first two verses that the church spent three centuries trying to understand and articulate who is the person Jesus. How does John begin? In the beginning. Let's stay there for a moment. When we are building a relationship with someone, we start by getting to know them. What is your name? We have many new people here even today. I want to know you. What is your name? What do you do? Where are you from? One of my favorite things is meeting with usually young women and men who are about to get married. Most of the time I know one, either the fiancé, who is the groom-to-be or the bride-to-be, not necessarily both, sometimes I do. But if I've never met the man or I've never met the woman, I want to know your story. And they often say, well, where do you want me to start? I want you to start at the beginning. Well, what does that mean? John says, in order for people that read this letter, hear this letter, in order for them to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, the Son of God, in order for them to have the life that only he can give now and forever, I need to start by making much of who he is. And so what he does is he begins with these words, in the beginning. In the beginning, three English words would immediately have taken the Jews that were listening to this, where? Right back to the very beginning of the Bible, the Hebrew Scriptures, the book of Genesis. One word that we use three words to state, in the beginning. But then Jesus would shock them by saying, in the beginning was the word, logos. A Greek word that has to do with revelation, spoken word, real word, so that even those who were not Jewish, the Gentiles, Greeks, would know something philosophically about that word that has to do with the meaning and creation and sustaining of all things. So friends, John isn't just saying once upon a time. He's not just saying, I'm going to give you a similar view that the synoptic gospels do of Jesus. His birth, his timeline, he does something so shocking. He takes them back to the beginning, but the beginning isn't Genesis. The beginning is before creation, where the Word existed.
And who is the Word? We know from verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What I'm about to tell you, no matter how long you've known Jesus, should blow your mind. Frederick Del Bruner has written a commentary that's about that thick. It's amazing. There are many great commentaries out there. Here's what he says about those three words in the beginning. Whereas the first book of the Hebrew Scriptures, the first book of the Old Testament, the first book of the Bible, Genesis, whereas it begins with a divine doing, in the beginning God made, John, in his fourth gospel, the fourth gospel, begins with a divine being. In the beginning was. This is who John wants you to know. Not about him, not a worldview only, but the intimate personal relationship with the one who is the Word. This is who John wants us to meet. John presumes to go behind and beyond creation to who and what preceded it. Winston Churchill said, "The longer you can look back, the further you can look forward." Isn't it interesting? The one who gives us the last book of the Bible, Revelation, which if you ask when we're going to preach from that, we just did, a long year. The one who gave us that book begins his gospel by going long before creation. The one who gave us the last book of the Bible begins his gospel by taking us to the beginning, beginning before creation. But there's more. He speaks of creation. Look with me at verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made. Let's camp there for a moment. The opening sentence of John tells us when the Word was in the beginning, where the Word was with God, who the Word was, and the Word was God. Let me say that again. I don't care how many times you've read this. This is where John starts. This is John making much of the person Jesus. In the opening sentence, John tells us when the Word was in the beginning, where the Word was with God, who the Word was. Most of the Gospels start in a place like Bethlehem. John's going to a place and time before Bethlehem ever was in existence. And then he tells us there's more. Let this soak in. The one who is the Word, verse 3, all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. First, there's a positive. All things were made through him. What does all mean? All things were made through him. And then in the negative, nothing. Without him was not anything made. Almost everything we have tells us where it's made. Made in China, made in Indonesia, made in the USA. If we had the ability to see everything that God created, that includes every star and the billions upon billions upon billions that we can't even see, each one of them were made by Jesus Christ. We said so in our call to worship. You spoke these words with me. Listen again from Colossians 1. For by him, Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities,
All things were created through him and for him.
If you are a Christian today, a follower of Jesus, the one who saved you made you. Let that sink in. If you are a Christian, the one who made you is the one who saved you. The one who saved you is the one who made all things. The one who saved you and made all things by his Spirit, if you're in Christ, is right now living inside you. When you speak to people about Jesus, are you making much of him? Do you start where John starts? Do you start with this magnificent, transcendent God? John says, in order for the people to truly know who Christ is, I am going to start in the beginning, not Genesis 1, but pre-creation. But there's more. Verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light, verse 5, shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let's talk about these two words for a moment, light and life. The word Zoe is the word for life. It's used 35 times in the Gospel of John, and 15 more if you include the verb to live. The word Zoe is not just about physical life, but Christ, we have already heard, is the creator of all physical life. He's also the creator of spiritual life. If you are in Christ Jesus, you're a follower of Christ, you're a Christian, have you remembered, have you forgotten that you were dead? Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, in which we all once lived in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of the mind. All of us. Then Paul goes on to say, but God, being rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. It's physical life. It's spiritual life. And the spiritual life gives life that will be for eternity. As Packer said, faith in Jesus introduces us into a relation big with incalculable blessings, both now and forever. What are you making much of? Are you experiencing what John's going to share with us in his gospel, the abundant life? That's not the wealth prosperity gospel. It is the intimate security of knowing who I am for all eternity in Christ. It's what Pete Hatton said in the beautiful prayer that he gave. This is who we are. What are you making most of, friend? Right now, as a new school year is upon us, what are you making much of? Right now, in our country, where there's so much chaos, what are you making much of? We tend to make much of the things that we think and believe will give us life. And we tend to make much of the things that we believe are seeking to take away life. What are you making much of? Is it Jesus? Is it you? Sometimes people in the church think they're making much of Jesus, when all they're really seeking to do is make much of themselves and how much they appear to love or know a lot about Jesus. Is that you? Ask the Holy Spirit. The Pharisees thought they were making much of God. They were making a mockery of God. What are you making much of? What are you thinking about? Where are you dreaming? Where are you spending your time? The word life, Zoe, is a life that God promises us, that speaks of this relationship, big, with incalculable blessings. To those who know you the best, who spend the most time with you, if they were honest and someone said, do you know they're a Christian? And they said, yes. And they said, can you sense from their life that they are in a relation with the Lord, big with incalculable blessings? Would that be the first thing they would say? What would that look like? Friends, it would look like the light of Christ. Jesus says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. No matter how dark the world looks, no matter how chaotic the world looks, no matter even what tender suffering you're in the midst of now, God calls us to make much of him and not much of culture, not much of the circumstance, not much of the brokenness. That doesn't mean we don't think about those things. That doesn't mean we don't feel those things. But even in thinking about them, experiencing them, feeling them, the call of God is to make much of me while you are in this circumstance. This is where the word light is so powerful. In him was life, that's the word Zoe, 35 times plus 15. And the life was the light of men. These two themes are going to run through the Gospel of John. But here's something I want you to notice. And if you're afraid to make a mark in your Bible, just do it mentally then. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness. Bruner, Frederick Del Bruner says, when I teach this verse, I encourage my students to take a pen or pencil and underline the last S in the word shines. Here's why. Until now, all the verbs in the prologue have been various forms of past or past continuous tenses. But now something suddenly changes. Something suddenly shines on. It's the present tense, presently, and this is it. This light won. But not only that, this light is winning. I believe because of how much time John spends in the Passion of Christ, that right here at the beginning, when he is saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, when he moves towards speaking about life and light, he is setting the stage for the season of the greatest darkness that ever came upon the earth. And that is when this one who is the Word, the revealed one, the Logos, when this one was crucified, the world never looked darker. So from pre-creation, Jesus, to creation by Jesus, to the cross and to the conquest, the light shines, present tense, on. And what that means is no matter what darkness you are in, personally, corporately, as a world, the light shines. Christ won and Christ wins. Are you making much of him? Or are you making much of the world, of sin, of darkness? It's okay to talk about those things. That's our world. But never let talking about those things diminish you making much of Jesus. One of the ways you'll know whether or not you're making much of the wrong thing
is to simply audit your conversations. Audit the conversations you have one-on-one and in a small group. Audit the conversations you have with close, intimate friends and even strangers. And friend, as a believer, make much of the one who is Jesus, the Ancient of Days, who was and is and always will be. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, 5 verses that speak of so much mind-blowing truth. Thank you that you live in all who have professed faith in you. So today, Lord, if there are any in our midst who know they don't know you, friend, pray to Christ right now. Perhaps today's the day he brought you here to hear these very words about Jesus. God, give us faith. Help us believe. And Lord, help those who are already in Christ to humble, let us humble ourselves and come before you and ask you to cause us, even as we sing this closing anthem, to make much of you, all for your glory's sake and all for our good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.